Welcome back to Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. Earlier this month, the New England Journal of Medicine published three research papers on sodium, and they brought to mind an interview that we did in 2011. In that interview, Dr. Jan Stasen, who just published his own study on the subject in JAMA, warned that the United States risked increased cardiovascular disease rates if it restricted sodium intake to the levels recommended by the Department of Agriculture. Those levels are roughly 2,300 milligrams or under for about half the population, and under 1,500 milligrams for the other half of the population, those who are above age 50, who are African American, who have hypertension, diabetes, or chronic kidney disease. I've asked Dr. Stasen whether he'd discuss the implications of the new research with us, and he's kindly agreed. He's talking with us today from his office at the University of Leuven in Belgium. Welcome back, Dr. Stasen.
Thank you.
Two of the papers used fasting urine specimens to examine the relation between sodium intake and cardiovascular events and between sodium intake and blood pressure. What did you think?
Yes.
Were the results pretty similar to yours, despite the differences in technique?
Well, we have never been able to to demonstrate in our population studies that this relationship between sodium consumption, as measured from 24-hour urinary excretion, and blood pressure. In contrast, we always find an inverse association between blood pressure and potassium output in the urine. Mm. If we now discuss a study that is looking at the effect on blood pressure, you have to realize that, in fact, there was no 24-hour urinary excretion measured, but they used morning fasting urine samples.
Yes.
Although the method was validated according to the authors, and they needed 100,000 people to demonstrate a relationship, which according to me tells something about the strength of the association. So if you look at the effect size, so in the whole population for systolic pressure, for 1 gram increment in estimated sodium excretion, you have an effect on systolic pressure of 2.1 mmHg and on diastolic of 0.78. So in fact, when we published our JAMA paper, we also looked at people who had a measurement of blood pressure and urinary sodium excretion at baseline and then were remeasured about 5 to 6 years later. And in that JAMA paper, our effect size was 1.7 millimeter mercury systolic for 100 millimoles. That's about, for sodium, it's about 2.5 gram.
I'm hearing you say that the effect size is not great.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yes.
The effect size is not great, and you need 100,000 adult people to find this association.
Let's consider now the paper on sodium excretion and cardiovascular risk. That was much, I would take that as confirmation of your earlier study.
That's exactly the confirmation of the earlier study we did. We didn't have the 100,000 people, but we found that the people with, and this is random population sample, that if you start from high salt intake, and in our case for sodium this was 6 grams, you have cardiovascular mortality of 1%. Then the middle group, they had sodium excretion of 4 grams, and cardiovascular mortality doubled to 2%. And the low sodium group, 2.5 grams, they had 4% cardiovascular mortality. And if you look at the ideal, the middle ground, 4 to 6 grams, 4 to 6 grams per day, that's approximately our middle ground too. And what is different with our study is that they found that indeed there's an increase in mortality and cardiovascular events if you go higher. But on the other hand, when you go lower, you also see an increase in the event rates.
Yes, and they describe it as a J-shaped risk curve.
Yeah, a J-shaped curve, yeah.
I think their mean sodium excretion in the entire population, because they also measured, I mean, it was roughly the same study, they also measured 100,000, roughly 100,000 mm-hmm. people. The mean sodium excretion was something on the order of 5 grams. The reference point against which they compare the greater than 7 grams or less than 3 grams. That level of 5 grams is about twice the level recommended by the Department of Agriculture in the U.S. The third paper, though, is a meta-analysis of collected data, and it attempted to estimate mortality from excess sodium intake. And I wonder what, as I was reading it, I wondered what your reaction would be to that paper.
Well, this is the same as, these calculations, they are based on extrapolations. And this is often the case in the salt debate. They extrapolate intervention studies, usually short term, mm-hmm. normal volunteers or in selected patients. Yeah. Then they have seen effects on blood pressure. And then these effects on blood pressure are being extrapolated. And actually, the third paper, the NutriCode paper, it doesn't recognize that there is a curve-linear relationship. So they think it's a linear relationship, and the higher the sodium excretion, the worse it is, which might be true if you go above the 6 grams per day, but they completely forgot that if you go below 4, that you also see an increase in cardiovascular complications.
So what action should clinicians take, or could they take, with the information available now? Would you say to restrict salt only among those with hypertension and heart failure, or would you be even more cautious?
Well, that's what is in the guidelines. The guidelines, in Belgium, it is recommended to restrict sodium intake by 100 millimol if you're hypertensive, but very few people can do that. Uh-huh. I think if you look at what you can do in terms of lifestyle for high blood pressure, there are things that are much more important. To give one example, obesity, I think, is a major problem in hypertensive patients. Mm-hmm. Another thing is physical activity. Mm-hmm. And you have to sit in front of a patient and negotiate what is possible, mm-hmm. what a patient can do, but you cannot ask a patient to do all these lifestyle measures.
Yes.
That's impossible. It's always a compromise. And in my personal practice, reducing salt intake is not the primary point that I discuss with my hypertensive patients in terms of lifestyle.
Okay. Well, I wanted to wish you well, Dr. Stace, and I wanted to thank you for spending some time with us today.
Okay. No, thanks.
That was the 173rd edition of Clinical Conversations. The others can be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you through the NEJM group. We'll see you next time. And if you have any suggestions, complaints, or kudos, please contact me at jelia@nejm.org. My executive producers are Kristen Kelly and Adoriano. Thanks, folks. And thank you so much for listening.